All right, we're halfway home on a Thursday. Ben and Woods, 97.3. The Fan, great to be here with you. Padres, a bit of a skid right now, which we, I think, probably should have seen coming based on how the season has trended this year. You know, win a few, lose a few, et cetera, et cetera. But listen, not going to ruin our good time today, that's for sure. I'm Woodsy, that's Paul Reindel. He's the executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Good morning. Benjamin. It's like the Padres are like a carousel ride. Up and down. Are we allowed to say that?
No.
No amusement park rides.
No, do not invoke any sort of ride and any sort of amusement park ever.
They're like a yo-yo. It goes down, and then it goes back up.
No.
That's not a ride.
Nope.
It's a toy.
No, it's... Can't do that either. Ben Higgins, you're from
like
the neighborhood.
They're like a boomerang. They're going forward, and then they kind of come around come back.
It's a good metaphor.
We can use boomerang. All right. Found one.
It's a roller coaster.
It is. Yeah,
sorry, Mike. It's a roller coaster.
It is.
It may have been prematurely used earlier this year.
That's a fair point. It is now, though.
And when Mike Shildt pushed back against it, he was right. You were a little early, and you're calling the season a roller coaster after a month or so. It's not early anymore. This has been an absolute roller coaster ride. Paul, you had the stat earlier. Too much Morton's had it, but here is the stretch from earlier in the season. So, Padres went 5-1, then 0-5, 5-1, 0-5, 12-3, and now 0-4. It's as up and down as you're going to get in a baseball season.
12-3 was like the loop.
Yeah, that's as back and forth as you're going to see in a baseball season.
Yeah.
You know, normally you're going to have up and down stretches. Every team does. But they'll be a little bit softer on the edges. You know, it'll be 6-3, and then 4-7, and then it'll be 8-4, and then it'll be 2-5. This is very glaring, very distinct, very easy to see. When you go to like an ESPN page and you just have the schedule and you see the W's and L's all in a line, they're very much grouped. It's green and then it's red.
Yeah.
And then it's green and then it's red. And then it's green and then it's red.
Paul's going to kill me. But remember
I thought about it this morning.
The Padres heartbeat.
And I thought.
Ben's Padres heartbeat.
I'll do it for summer break.
All right.
Up until
next week,
the unofficial first half of the season.
Yeah, we'll see how it ends against the Braves.
If you guys missed it, we did it last year. We gave up on it after like a week.
We were dying.
But we had for wins, it was the sound was
yes,
and for losses,
dang it.
So when they lost like three in a row, it was,
dang it, dang it. Dang it.
So we just played them all together. It was like the heartbeat of the Padres, and it was funny as hell.
Put it together
and then it got really long. We'll get some new ones. We'll freshen it up this year.
We'll do it for the entire first half of the season.
Yeah, first half of the season. We'll just play it for you guys.
At the All-Star break.
It'll be summer break.
It'll be the audio representation of what you can see visually. I'm on the page right now. The red, green, red, green, red, green, red, green. All the way through the season.
Gred is when they tie.
Gred, yeah.
Yeah, green and red. Yeah, next week, though, on Ben and Woods, as you know, we have summer break here on the program. We're still here. It's like summer school, basically, for us. We're here. There's no games or anything.
Never had to go to summer school.
I went to summer school in college just because I wanted to finish, because I wasted like 2 years with no credit, so I had to catch up. So I had to do summer school. But this is like summer school for us because we're still here. Is he making us do a round table next week? No games?
I think so.
Is he really?
Yeah.
This will be our third mid-season report.
Yeah, because this week's kind of a mid-season.
Yeah, we did it a couple weeks ago.
A couple weeks ago, the actual halfway point.
Yeah,
and then we'll bang the round table next
have
week.
Another mid-season round table next week.
We got no games.
Well, it's up to the moderator to come up with new and interesting topics for next week.
Is he making us do one? During summer break?
Maybe we can get actual players like in studio.
Oh, I'm sure that's what they want to do.
They'll be flying out on Thursday to Cleveland, I think, to start the second half of the season next Friday.
Yeah, Cleveland.
Yep.
Another really hard team.
Cleveland, Washington, and Baltimore.
This month, and I don't think
the Dodgers.
I'm not saying that these four losses are schedule necessarily driven, but the month of July is a fairly brutal one. It's the most brutal remaining month.
Yep.
Schedule wise for the Padres. They take on pretty much nothing but good opponents the rest of this month. Atlanta, Cleveland, Washington Nationals aren't great, but they're still in the playoff hunt for sure. At Baltimore, and then the Dodgers. That's the rest of this month. Those are first place teams. You got Cleveland, Baltimore, Los Angeles, first place teams. You got wild card leaders in the Braves and a wild card contender in Washington. Then in August, it definitely gets a little bit kinder. You got Rocky series, Miami series, Rocky series. Pittsburgh may or may not still be, going forward at that point. We'll see what they do at the trade deadline. We got two series against Pittsburgh. It's not nearly as tough in August as it is in July, but July is a very brutal stretch for the San Diego Padres schedule-wise.
Yeah, it's tough. So next week we'll be in here on summer break. We'll be, doing the recaps of the year. But if there's anything you guys want to talk about next week, this is when we really get a chance to explore the space. We could get really freaky in here if we wanted to. You know what I mean?
Kind of hope we do.
Like freaky. We can do whatever we want. We have the empty canvas here, basically.
Ben's going to get a tattoo on the air.
That would be amazing. What will you do?
Would you do that, Ben?
We'll come up with some ideas.
No, I do not want a tattoo.
What if it's just like a little circle?
Like
a mole.
Like on your leg.
Let's circle one of your
just
moles.
Just another mole.
Like on your hip, even. Like ooh, somewhere, it won't
sexy
be seen.
One, right here on your hip. That sexy little spot on your hip.
I guarantee somebody's a tattoo artist.
All right,
listening
I'm gonna,
right
what
now.
About
they
a calf?
Would love to come
what
out.
About a calf?
I'm gonna come fully clean as well.
Okay.
I don't endure pain very well. And I know that there are people who really find the process of getting the tattoo painful.
Why did you say that like it was some big secret that we didn't already know?
My wife does not. She is very... They call it sitting well. She
there's
sits...
There's different parts of the body where it won't hurt as
yeah,
much.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll
parts
find you a good spot
you.
That it's not going to affect your TV career.
I know, it's
that.
Not... Well,
we're not going to get you the Mike Tyson.
It would have to be somewhere...
How about a spider web around your neck?
It would have to be somewhere where I can't see it.
Right.
Because it would bother me to see it. I'd keep trying to rub it off.
Right. I don't like on my back shoulder blade. I forget it's even there.
If someone ever, people write on their hands like a note.
Yeah.
Even if it washes off, it creeps me
it
out to have
you.
Like writing on my skin. So to have permanent writing on my skin, I think would really bother me.
Carlos says, get SD fat loss on your lower back like a tramp stamp. SD fat loss. I'll get eco water across my chest. SD fat loss around your, like a tramp said, would be amazing. Is that term offensive these days? I think it is.
Ben getting tattooed on the air, live on the air, would be pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I would do it.
See, I
could
see that.
But it's not as
much.
Just circle
of mold. It would bother me. Yeah, that would bother me.
I heard this up here really, really hurts.
My buddy got ribs, like all up and down the ribs, and he said,
I want to get actual ribs tattooed on my ribs.
like
smoky,
baby back ribs.
Baby back ribs on my ribs.
Saucy ribs.
Could I?
Sauce dripping down.
Can you tattoo like a six pack of abs?
Yeah, you do that. They can shade it in.
Shading. Just looks like you've got abs.
They can shade it in. Yeah, it's listen, summer break, it's anything goes. Probably do some drinking on the air next week for sure. Got to find the new drink of the summer. We did the Sunny D seltzer last year.
Oh, yeah.
Phenomenal.
What is this year?
It was phenomenal. It was so good. So we did that last year. We'll have some fun. Yeah, that next week's going to be real loosey on Ben and Woods. As if it's not normally. As if it's normally a really tight ship.
Yeah. Take this tight ship.
Take this tight ship.
We're just going to loosen it up a little bit.
Sail it out to the middle of nowhere. Well, listen, man, this team doesn't give us a hell of a lot to talk about on days like today. This is what it is.
Joey says, weeding Ben and Woods tattoos.
No, that's the kiss of death. It's a kiss of death.
I would get our show logo tattooed.
You can't.
I'm going to cherish this moment.
Yeah, I'll cherish
this,
it too.
This season of my life forever.
But what if it went really bad, as radio shows often do? And then you're like,
it won't outweigh the highs.
Bastards.
Isn't that the fear anytime you get a tattoo of anything?
No.
It's no longer going to be meaningful to you in 4 years.
No, but it begs the question, would you do Megan's name? Hannah's been after me for 10 years. On our third date, she's like, you need to get my name tattooed. I'm like, you're out of your mind. I literally just got divorced. I'm not getting somebody's name tattooed on.
I would do something for her. I don't know that I would just do her name.
It's tough.
But like, I've thought about something like in her handwriting, I think is a cool idea.
Like what?
I don't know, like I love you or something, or something from our wedding vows or something like that.
Why not her name?
Property of Megan.
Lawful property.
Legal property. Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Yeah.
Okay. Everyone's digging little holes this morning, I feel like, on this program.
None bigger than you, my friend.
It's very true. Very, very, very true. Ooh, a calf sleeve would look good on you.
I think I'd rather have a piercing than a tattoo.
We can make that happen.
I can absolutely make that happen.
I can make that happen today,
all
probably.
Right, stop. Hold on. I'm number one. I'm blown away.
Yeah.
Where?
I don't know.
By the way.
Ear?
And you won't
ear,
get a tattoo.
Maybe.
Oh my God, like Ed Bradley?
Yeah.
You wouldn't get a tattoo because of the pain.
Solid news, man.
Ed Bradley, Ben. Ben would be Ed Bradley. Would you? But would they make you take it out on channel? They can't. They can't make you take it out on channel 10.
Did you get your nipple pierced?
Ow, that sounds really painful. Woods.
My tiny little nipples. You guys have a lot of surface area. I don't. I have one tiny little thing.
One of those little bars.
Yeah, tiny
that goes
little
through
bar.
It.
Through, yeah. And then you see it through my t-shirt every morning. Would you be repulsed if you looked over and you saw the
no,
little bar?
I wouldn't be repulsed.
I love them on women. I'm a big fan. But men, a little different. What about a little nose ring for you? I feel like that would hurt a lot.
I think they all hurt.
I think they all hurt.
He won't do a tattoo because of the pain.
Do you know what a Prince Albert is?
Yeah.
All right. You ever thought about that?
No.
All right.
You think of the spot, and I'll make that
yeah,
happen.
Yeah, we'll make it happen. The ear. Please get an earring. Oh, this is a midlife crisis. I can see it coming on him. I can see it. I can smell it. And it's going to be such good content.
He pierces his ear on a Monday. By Tuesday, he's got leather jacket, the Corvette.
We'll go start looking at vets when I get back next week. How about that? After the show, we'll go start looking at Corvettes. I like this.
I don't see me with a nose ring.
A ring, just a...
Yeah, the stud.
Do we... do men do the stud?
I don't think so.
I almost blacked out. Do men do the little diamond stud?
Definitely not belly button, as I don't really have one.
Ring.
I don't really have a belly button, so I can't get it pierced.
I'm dead, man. I am dead. Tongue. One of those clickers? Yeah. You just sit there the whole show. Click, 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 click. Nightmare. Yeah, you have to do it. Okay, if you had an earring, would it be like a diamond stud,
yeah,
or would it be a dangling Barry
no,
Bonds
I don't think it's
Camposano?
Dangling, I don't think I'd like. That would bother me.
Like a what if it was like a dangling golf ball?
I wouldn't want to feel it.
It was like a dangling golf ball.
No.
A golf ball stud.
It'd be like a tee.
A tee for what?
Golf. A golf tee.
Oh, golf tee. I think
no, 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 not the letter tee. A golf tee.
The plugs. Like, really drag his ear out.
Drag it out. Like, the holes.
Yeah.
What are those called? Spacers?
Plugs?
Plugs.
Out there. I mean, you just tell me when. I'll make it happen.
A little diamond would look really cool
look
on him. Yeah. All right. Summer break. You never know what might happen. Let's go to break right now, though.
All right. Let's take time out. We got Eno Saris on the way at the bottom of the hour. Stay tuned for that.
That was one of my favorite segments of all time. He's like, I'm not going to get a tattoo. I would get a piercing, though. Excuse me.
I am just saying, if you made me choose between the two.
Gauges is what they're called.
Yeah.
I mean, you can always take out the piercing at some point,
yeah,
and it goes away. Tattoo,
yeah,
you can't. It never goes away.
It's true.
I think that's part of it.
Just get Garvey and number six tattoo.
Part of the equation for me. So, all right. Other baseball games yesterday. We got an update. Got very tightening wild card race in the National League. We'll get to that coming up.
It's exhausting.
After a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. Speaking of earrings, just as the conversation turned in our last segment, I just got this in. Adam brought it in. The Luis Camposano pin that they're giving away this Sunday theme game ticket actually has a dangling earring from Campy's ear. It's actually part of the pin.
Yes.
I don't know if you can see it right there. It's that cross earring that's actually part of the pin. They also will be giving away the No-No Joe pin series as well. You do need a theme game ticket. That's Sunday's game against the Atlanta Braves on the 14th. Tickets are still available, even for the theme game as well. I'm always intrigued by those theme game giveaways because while the ones that are for everyone, like the hat yesterday, fantastic, it's kind of special when you're like one of the few who get like the limited edition stuff, but you do have to like take the extra step of signing up and getting one of the themed game tickets. And if you're a pin collector, and I know they have the Fernando one, they've had the series going on, you don't want to miss out this Sunday for the latest offering.
I wanted to buy a theme game ticket for the Merrill Christmas shirt.
I want it so
bad. But when
bad.
I went to go, I was going to go buy the tickets, and when I went to buy them, it said they're only available in medium and large, I think.
Oh, that's the only sizes left? Or that's the only sizes they have? You try to squeeze me into a large Jackson Merrill shirt. The overcooked hot dog in the microwave. Just folding out of the top. You've lost weight. You ain't fitting in the large.
No chance.
And also, ballpark
larges. I'm finally down to extra large.
Ballpark larges.
Some t-shirts.
Ballpark larges are different. They're smaller than regular larges. So as much as I want that Jackson Merrill shirt, I can't wear it in a large. That's a bummer. I like that shirt a lot, though. I like it a lot. I was going to buy one on eBay or something, but not if they don't have an XL.
Now, I'm seeing in the chat that they say it's medium or extra large, not medium or large.
I'll take
the
XL.
Two choices are medium or XL.
Okay, I'll take an XL.
That's better.
All right, so better. But you wash it once, and then it's this guy. Like, what's up, dude?
Yeah, right. You got to hang dry it
here.
I think the worst t-shirts are the ones when you put your arms over your head that they pull up above your belly. That is the worst.
Dude, I hate it. As I just suck down a donut in here. So you can tell I'm very concerned about it.
So I know I'm always the good news merchant.
Yes, you are the good news merchant.
Trying to spin bad days into good. And I don't have much for you today. Here's what I've got. Padres actually picked up a half game on the St. Louis Cardinals in the wild card race yesterday.
That is not the worst good news you've ever delivered.
The Cardinals actually lost twice yesterday.
Yes, that's right.
To the Kansas City Royals. They were swept in a doubleheader. So the Padres didn't lose ground to everybody in the National League playoff chase. Unfortunately, a couple of the teams that are more concerning, that are right behind them, are gaining ground and gaining ground fast. The New York Mets beat the Washington Nationals 6-2, and don't look now, but the Mets are a game above 500 and just a half game behind the San Diego Padres for the third and final wild card spot in the National League. And that, of course, is a team that pretty much has unlimited resources.
It's a good point, man. Very, very good point. One of the teams we talked about yesterday that we buried. They were done. They were trading everybody.
Mets fans buried their own team after like 3 weeks of the season.
Italian Paul was like despondent. When he filled in for Paul, he was like, terrible. You guys are going to kill us this weekend. We got smoked. And they went on a run, and they've stayed on a run. And they, like you said, unlimited resources to do whatever they want. And, super fun.
They've kind of rallied around the Lindor All-Star snub not getting in and taking some momentum here into the All-Star break. And the Arizona Diamondbacks, of course, who just took 2-3 from the Padres. They beat the Braves yesterday 7-6, and the defending National League champions are just a game and a half back in that wild card race. So there are plenty of contenders still as we head toward the break and the trade deadline. And I would say if you had two teams behind you that I was most worried about, those are the two. Because of the Mets' resources and the Diamondbacks having already had the success from last season, like the knowledge that they can and have done it makes them a little bit more dangerous than, say, the Pirates or the Reds or the Nationals or some of the other teams that are still in contention.
Yeah,
you know, three or four games back.
What about the Giants?
Giants. Yeah, I mean that. You know, I'm a little worried about them. If Blake Snell gets healthy, then
he's second half Blake Snell, Kyle Harrison, Logan Webb.
Yeah, they'd probably be the next on my list. They did lose to the Blue Jays 10-6. Logan Webb gave up 7 runs yesterday. So they've just never been able to truly get on a roll this season. But they're not out of it. They're only like three back as well. So plenty of contenders that are trying to chase down your San Diego Padres. Struggles continue for the LA Dodgers. Third straight loss yesterday. 4-3 to the Phillies. Kyle Schwarber hit a leadoff home run. But the Dodgers pitching woes continue. They sent Bobby Miller down to the minors. He was supposed to be pretty much, this was the year where he joins the rotation for good, and it has not worked out very well.
Can you fill me in on what's going on with Walker Buehler? Did you see that?
I have not seen any Walker Buehler news as of late.
He left the Dodgers to go work somewhere else. He's trying to address his issues away from the Dodgers. He was activated from the 15th
That's never a good sign.
Day IL on May 6th. Let's see. Early returns, mixed bag. Yeah, we saw him. It was great. Replaced back on the IL. He's away from the team, working out his issues. While players don't usually train and practice away from the club's coaches during the season, the Dodgers have backed up his decision. The idea of working at a facility outside the Dodgers organization was Buehler's idea, and we're supporting it, Dave Roberts says. Still no timetable for when he will return. I feel like that's a pretty big story. Don't you?
Like, I do. Now, do the Dodgers have any choice other than to support their guy? And if he feels like it's going to make him better, then okay, do what you need to
do. Is he one of those guys that's earned that ability
possibly,
to do?
Even if he has, it's still a big red flag.
It is a huge red flag.
If you don't think your own coaches and the Dodgers, who have massive, massive coaching resources and organizational resources, and you don't think anyone in that organization can help you, you need to go to your own pitching coach at your own facility to try to get right. That's a huge red flag. That's like when I need to go to my own doctor to get a second opinion after the team doctor says one thing, and you don't. That's just a sign that you don't trust your own organization.
Yeah, it's wild to me. And of course, it was kind of not glossed over yesterday in the news. I did see it, and I went, oh, I got to remember to talk about that tomorrow, because it did seem a little odd for me that he's like, no, I'm gonna work through my stuff. Trust me, this is better this is better for everyone if I do. And so, yeah, pretty interesting story. I feel like it would be a big deal if it happened to one of our guys. I do. I really do.
Speaking of interesting baseball stories, Eno Saris is going to join us. We got our Smart Baseball Weekly segment coming up with Eno. Get some more thoughts on what's going on around the league. That is coming up next with Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Baseball coverage on 97.3 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. We've got Eno Saris standing by from The Athletic, our Smart Baseball Weekly segment. It's coming up right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
It's time for the super polished, yet to be named Smart Baseball Weekly segment with Eno Harris. Saris, son of a bitch. Brought to you by 7 Mile Casino, just 7 minutes from the ballpark by the bay in Chula Vista. Here's Eno Saris with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
So I'm curious about something as we welcome Eno in. We had Kyle Higashioka in studio earlier this week. Two days ago. And he hit a home run that night.
He did.
Now, Eno talks to a lot of players. We always worry that when we talk to someone, that if they have a bad night, they're going to associate it with us and they're going to blame us.
Right.
Eno, do you ever worry about that? Because you just talked to Logan Webb, and he went out and had a really bad game yesterday for the San Francisco Giants.
Guy probably should have been focused on pitching and not showing your kid pitching grips, you know. Let's be honest.
Yeah, no, I mean, I do think about it sometimes. One thing that I'm blessed with is I don't go into the clubhouse after the game. And the reason I say that I'm blessed not to do that is that if they've had a bad game, they don't look across the mic at me.
Yes. Very good point.
Good call.
Very.
So I think for the most time, I think that they talk to so many people that they forget. But I do wonder, if I do a big piece that's about why they've gotten better or whatever.
Yes.
And then they go through a bad stretch. The reason, though, that is always going to happen is that you're going to write about the players that are playing the best.
Yeah.
And there's just natural, baseball is just naturally, there's regression all the time.
It's only one way to go.
The Astros were terrible, and then they were great. They were the best in baseball in June. It's just always like that. So if you write about somebody right when they're doing their best, because that's when they're most interesting, of course they're gonna have some hard times after that.
It does always feel like a jinx, too, because I was in here a couple of days ago and we had Tim Flannery in. He told a couple hours of stories that were just brilliant about some of those old Giants teams that you know very well. And I asked him, you know, do you believe? And he goes, oh, yeah, I believe in this team. And I'm like, bro, me too. They deserve a shot, man. They deserve to go out and get a starter and a bullpen, maybe another bat, whatever they need. This team has really earned it. And then, you know, a couple of clunkers in a row. driving into work this morning going, I wonder what we could get for Dylan Cease. You know what I mean? It's just the stupid nature of a baseball season.
Yeah, but they are a decent team. And I like that they make so much contact. And I think what it hides, though, on offense is that they do way better when they hit their power as well. I think, was it last night, they had six singles or something?
Yeah, seven hits, six singles, I think. I think that's right.
Yeah. And it's just hard to live like that. I know, I love Mud and I love the announcers, but I hear this from other people that, like, you know, a hit is a hit and, you know, just get on base and you can string together hits. It's just really hard to string together hits in today's environment. You just think about the batting average now is the worst it's been since like 1968, the year of the pitcher. So you get six singles, you get zero runs for it, you know? It's like, it is pretty hard, actually, to string together a bunch of singles. And so, you know, that's why I think, you know, Manny getting right and he's looked better and Tatis coming back, that's enough where you're like, okay, this offense is going to get going.
Eno Saris is with us. Yesterday, Eno, you and a couple of your colleagues from The Athletic posted a story about the 10th anniversary of StatCast, the birth of what has become, at least for me, an integral part of watching baseball. I mean, I can't even imagine now watching a Padres game without going and checking the exit velocity of that last hit and, who's throwing hard, the speeds and velocities. How has the game changed based on this information that is now not just available to the teams that have advanced metrics, but now everybody can go and see these numbers, and they're posted right instantly online during every single game. You can follow along just like I was doing last night with the Padres Mariners game.
Yeah, for that piece, I talked to Mike Petriello, who did like an alternate StatCast edition of games early on, where they broadcast with Eduardo Perez, and they had David Cohn on sometimes, and Jason Benetti, and they would do these games where it was like more statty focused. And he said, you know, that's coming back, and we're going to do something this year. And I'm nervous because now every broadcast has this stuff in it, and the regular Sunday Night Baseball has Eduardo Perez and David Cohn, and they took our producer that was producing the StatCast, and they just made him the producer of the Sunday Night Baseball. So it's like, that's how ubiquitous it has become, is that like now the guy who used to be the nerd on, you know, doing the nerd cast, has to figure out how to become even nerdier. And I think that actually is a good way to kind of think about how it's changed the game. The nerdiness level has like gone through the roof. And, you know, even if someone says to me, like, I don't care about this sort of stuff, I talked to Tyler Glass now, and he was like, yes, I look at it. I look at the movement. I look at everything. I look at other people's stuff. I care about it. It's helped me in my career. And then James Paxton, sitting right next to him, said, I can look at a pitch and know if it's good. But even James Paxton knows about like naming conventions for movement. He knows about inverted vertical break. He's decided he doesn't care about it. You know what I mean? Like, so it's come to the point where everybody knows this stuff. It's everywhere. And I think the more successful players embrace it and use it to their benefit. JD Martinez just joined the Mets, and when he arrived, he changed the way the hitting reports were coming through from the hitting coach after a couple weeks. And he literally brought weighted bats to the team and distributed them to other players and showed them how to use them. And that's the kind of, there are these ambassadors that know even more than the average player and are sort of proselytizing the data, you know?
You know, it's funny, thinking about J.D. Martinez, who is somebody we talked about in the offseason, certainly the Padres were probably interested along with a bunch of other teams, coming in, and, I mean, if you're the hitting coach of the New York Mets, isn't that Eric Chavez?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, oh, all right. cool. You're bringing it. Like, you know what I mean? But then I just saw you retweeted the story we just talked about before we got you on about Walker Buehler, who's like, all right, see you guys later. I'm off to Florida to go work at Cressy Sports Performance instead of working with Mark Pryor and the Los Angeles Dodgers, who I'm assuming have every single gizmo gadget metric that one could ever want.
Well, I think one part is that it's a little difficult, I think, sometimes to really revamp anything or work on stuff in a competitive environment. So it would have been hard for him to do it between starts with Mark Pryor
right.
on the Dodgers. I guess you could IL him, but then you technically are supposed to send him to somewhere. You know, it's rare to IL someone and he stays with the Dodgers.
Right.
You know, so maybe his choice was, do I go down to Oklahoma City, you know, and work with people there, or do I go work with Eric Cressy? And I think the modern player is also empowered by the fact that there's all these independent labs, pitching labs now, that they have their own contractual arrangements with, and they can maybe feel some ownership over their own coaching, you know, by doing this. So they can go to Dryland, they can go to Tread, they can go to Cressy, and they feel like they are getting what they want. And when I've talked to people that are coaches or people in front offices about this, they struggle with it. You know, they're annoyed because they would rather the player got the coaching that they want them to get.
Right.
they think they know the right coaching. And there's different approaches to how to deal with that. Some front offices do something that's kind of cool. I talked to one front office. They said, "Oh, we don't love Teacher Man. Teacher Man's the guy who's Aaron Judge's
coach. I've heard a lot about that guy, man.
Oh my God, he's so arrogant. I think he really has like one good idea, but I don't think he has every good idea, you know. And it worked for Judge. Doesn't mean that it's going to work for everybody else. Judge is pretty unique in terms of, you know, size,
quickness,
athleticism, strength. Yeah. So, so somebody was working with them and they didn't really love everything, but what they did was they had their hitting coach take Teacher Man's course so they knew what Teacher Man was about and what he talked about. So he could speak Teacher Man's language to this player. They invited Teacher Man to spring to talk to the player and to other players and just made it seem like, hey, we're cool with him. If that's what you believe and that's what you're into, like we're gonna support you in that. But when the kid went through a stretch where he was 0 for 20 or something, he was a little more receptive to their own coach.
Makes sense. Yeah.
And so they wanted that's the struggle right now, is like, how do I make it cool for you to go to Eric Cressy, but also I want you to listen to Mark Pryor. That's kind of the line people are walking right now.
Smart Baseball with Eno Saris every Thursday here with Ben and Woods. And I think when we talk about the numbers, Eno, and you've kind of mentioned this before, and so for some people, it's too much. They get overwhelmed by all the stats, and they say, I just want to go by feel. But your brain fools you. If you throw a good pitch, if you throw a pitch and someone swings and misses, your brain's going to tell you, I just threw a good pitch. But you don't know that that's true.
That's absolutely
true. The batter may have just taken a bad swing at it for no reason whatsoever. And the numbers will actually kind of tell you which pitches are the better ones if you can take your brain out of the equation sometimes. Is that really what the statistical revolution here in baseball is about?
I think so. I mean, you know, I think the opposite is the one that's really happens even more, which is that a pitcher throws a pitch that's pretty good, but one of the first times he throws it, someone yanks it for a homer, and then they never throw that pitch again. And you're like, dude, that is a pretty good pitch. And that's why it can be good to have something like Stuff Plus and be like, look, this curve ranks the best. Here are the comps. You know, oh, this curve looks like this guy's curve and this guy. Those guys' curves are good, right? Like, throw it again, please, you know? So there's some of that, there's also some of, like, when a player is really struggling and you can come to them and say, hey, you know what, you're barreling the ball. Your barrel rate is on par with this guy's. Your exit velocities are fine. Like, you just need to chill out and, like, the hits will come, you know? So the numbers can do a lot of different things. They don't have to be overwhelming. They don't have to be negative. One thing that I do think is, as a fan, you were allowed – I don't begrudge anybody their opinion about how they want to consume the sport. I understand that. And I think that the best broadcast teams, the best, you know, the best shows, try to really meld, you know, what is happening on the field, what has happened historically, the stories. People love stories from back in the day. And then just sort of gently fold in some of the stats so that you don't necessarily have to report the exit velocity on every homer. But if somebody tonight hit the hardest hit homer of the year or ever for the Padres or something, that's when you sort of say it. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to do it for every single one. You don't have to really shoehorn it in. No, these numbers are supposed to tell a story, you know?
It's interesting, too. I was watching, I think it was the, something on Apple TV, maybe. I can't remember, but Franchi was on there, and he kept calling people that like stats in baseball pencil necks the whole night. Oh, those are those pencil necks. Pencil neck stats. Pencil necks. I'm like, all right, this is a huge broadcast featuring two great teams. Pencil neck, pencil neck, pencil neck. And I'm like,
oh my God.
And he's not an old guy. I mean, he's not, you know, this isn't Goose Gossage here. And I'm listening to this going, all right, now there needs to be more of a happy medium. You know, there really does.
Yeah.
I don't know if you had heard that.
Yeah, I think Mud does a great, I think they do a great job. Mud and Don do a great job. And they're not.
Baseball coverage on 97.3 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. We've got Eno Saris standing by from The Athletic, our Smart Baseball Weekly segment. It's coming up right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
It's time for the super polished, yet to be named Smart Baseball Weekly segment with Eno Harris. Saris, son of a bitch. Brought to you by 7 Mile Casino, just 7 minutes from the ballpark by the bay in Chula Vista. Here's Eno Saris with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
So I'm curious about something as we welcome Eno in. We had Kyle Higashioka in studio earlier this week. Two days ago.
2 days ago.
And he had a home run that night.
He did.
Now, Eno talks to a lot of players. We always worry that when we talk to someone that if they have a bad night, they're going to like associate it with us and they're going to blame us.
Right.
Eno, do you ever worry about that? Because you just talked to Logan Webb and he went out and had a really bad game yesterday for the San Francisco Giants.
Guy probably should have been focused on pitching and not showing your kid pitching grips, you know. Let's be honest.
Yeah, no, I mean, I do think about it sometimes. One thing that I'm blessed with is I don't go into the clubhouse after the game. And the reason I say that I'm blessed not to do that is that if they've had a bad game, they don't look across the mic at me.
Yes. Very good point.
Good call.
Very.
So I think for the most time, I think that they talk to so many people that they forget. But I do wonder, like, if I do like a big piece that's about like why they've gotten better or whatever,
yes.
and then they go through a bad stretch. The reason though that is always going to happen is that you're going to write about the players that are playing the best.
Yeah.
And there's just natural, you know, baseball is just naturally, there's regression all the time.
It's only one way to go.
The Astros were terrible and then they were great. They were the best in baseball in June. You know, it's like, it's just always like that. So if you write about somebody right when they're doing their best, because that's when they're most interesting, of course, they're gonna have some hard times after that.
It does always feel like a jinx, you know, too, because I was in here a couple of days ago, and we had Tim Flannery in. He told a couple hours of stories that were just brilliant about some of those old mm-hmm. Giants teams that you know very well. And I asked him, you know, do you believe? And he goes, oh, yeah, I believe in this team. And I'm like, bro, me too. They deserve a shot, man. They deserve to go out and get a starter and a bullpen, maybe another bat, whatever they need. This team has really earned it. And then, you know, a couple of clunkers in a row. driving into work this morning going, I wonder what we could get for Dylan Cease. You know what I mean? It's just the stupid, stupid nature of a baseball season.
Yeah, but they are a decent team. And I like that they make so much contact. And I think what it hides, though, on offense is that they do way better when they hit power, for power as well. I think, was it last night, they had 6 singles or something?
Yeah, 7 hits, 6 singles, I think. I think that's right.
Yeah. And it's just hard to live like that. I know, I love Mudd and I love the announcers, but I hear this from other people that, like, you know, a hit is a hit and, you know, just get on base and you can string together hits. It's just really hard to string together hits in today's environment. You just think about the batting average now is the worst it's been since like 1968, the year of the pitcher. So you get six singles, you get zero runs for it. You know, it's like it is pretty hard actually to string together a bunch of singles. And so, you know, that's why I think, you know, Manny getting right and he's looked better and Tatis coming back. That's enough where you're like, okay, this offense is going to get going.
Eno Saris is with us. Yesterday, Eno, you and a couple of your colleagues from The Athletic posted a story about the 10th anniversary of StatCast, the birth of what has become, at least for me, an integral part of watching baseball. I mean, I can't even imagine now watching a Padres game without going and checking the exit velocity of that last hit and, you know, who's throwing hard, the speeds and velocities. How has the game changed based on this information that is now not just available to the, you know, the teams that are have advanced metrics, but now everybody can go and see these numbers, and they're posted right instantly online during every single game. You can follow along just like I was doing last night with the Padres Mariners game.
Yeah, for that piece, I talked to Mike Petriello, who did like an alternate StatCast edition of games early on, where he, you know, they broadcast with Eduardo Perez, and they had David Cohn on sometimes, and you know, Jason Benetti, and they would do these games where it was like more statty focused. And he said, you know, that's coming back, and we're going to do something this year. And I'm nervous because now every broadcast has this stuff in it, and the regular Sunday Night Baseball has Eduardo Perez and David Cohn, and they took our producer that was producing the StatCast, and they just made him the producer of the Sunday Night Baseball. So it's like, that's how ubiquitous it has become, is that like now the guy who used to be the nerd on, you know, doing the Nerdcast, has to figure out how to become even nerdier. And I think that actually is a good way to kind of think about how it's changed the game. The nerdiness level has like gone through the roof. And, you know, even if someone says to me, like, I don't care about this sort of stuff, I talked to Tyler Glass now, and he was like, yes, I look at it. I look at the movement. I look at everything. I look at other people's stuff. I care about it. It's helped me in my career. And then James Paxton sitting right next to him said, I can look at a pitch and know if it's good. But even James Paxton knows about like naming conventions for movement. He knows about inverted vertical break. He just, he's decided he doesn't care about it. You know what I mean? Like, so it's come to the point where everybody knows this stuff. It's everywhere. And I think the more successful players embrace it and use it to their benefit. JD Martinez just joined the Mets, and when he arrived, he changed the way the hitting reports were coming through from the hitting coach after a couple weeks. And he literally brought weighted bats to the team and distributed them to other players and showed them how to use them. And so, you know, that's the kind of, there are these ambassadors that know even more than the average player and are sort of proselytizing the data, you know?
You know, it's funny, thinking about J.D. Martinez, who is somebody we talked about in the offseason, certainly the Padres were probably interested along with a bunch of other teams, coming in, and, I mean, if you're the hitting coach of the New York Mets, isn't that Eric Chavez?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, oh, all right. Cool, you're bringing it. Like, you know what I mean? But then I just saw you retweeted the story we just talked about before we got you on about Walker Buehler, who's like, all right, see you guys later. I'm off to Florida to go work at Cressy Sports Performance instead of working with Mark Pryor and the Los Angeles Dodgers, who I'm assuming have every single gizmo, gadget, metric that one could ever want.
Well, I think one part is that it would be – it's a little difficult, I think, sometimes to really revamp anything or work on stuff in a competitive environment. So it would have been hard for him to do it between starts with Mark Pryor on the Dodgers. I guess you could IL him, but then you technically are supposed to send him to somewhere. You know, it's rare to IL someone and he stays with the Dodgers.
Right.
You know, so maybe his choice was, do I go down to Oklahoma City you know, and work with people there, or do I go work with Eric Cressy? And I think the modern player is also empowered by the fact that there's all these independent labs, pitching labs now, that they have their own contractual arrangements with, and they can maybe feel some ownership over their own coaching, you know, by doing this. So they can go to Driveline, they can go to Tread, they can go to Cressy, and they feel like they are getting what they want. And when I've talked to people that are coaches or people in front offices about this, they struggle with it. You know, they're annoyed because they would rather the player got the coaching that they want them to get.
Right.
they think they know the right coaching. And there's different approaches to how to deal with that. Some front offices do something that's kind of cool. I talked to one front office. They said, "Oh, we don't love Teacher Man. Teacher Man's the guy who's Aaron Judge's coach.
I've heard a lot about that guy, man.
Oh my God, he's so arrogant. I think he really has like one good idea, but I don't think he has every good idea, you know. And it worked for Judge. Doesn't mean that it's going to work for everybody else. Judge is pretty unique in terms of, you know, size,
quickness,
yeah. So, you know, so somebody was working with them and they didn't really love everything, but what they did was they had their hitting coach take Teacher Man's course so they knew what Teacher Man was about and what he talked about, so he could speak Teacher Man's language to this player. They invited Teacher Man to spring to talk to the player and to other players and just made it seem like, hey, we're cool with him. If that's what you believe and that's what you're into, like, we're gonna support you in that. But when the kid went through a stretch where he was 0 for 20 or something, he was a little more receptive to their own coach.
Makes sense, yeah.
And so they wanted that's the struggle right now, is like, how do I make it cool for you to go to Eric Cressy, but also I want you to listen to Mark Pryor? That's kind of the line people are walking right now.
Smart Baseball with Eno Saris every Thursday here with Ben and Woods. And I think when we talk about the numbers, Eno, and you've kind of mentioned this before, and so for some people, it's too much. They get overwhelmed by all the stats, and they say, I just want to go by feel. But your brain fools you. If you throw a good pitch, if you throw a pitch and someone swings and misses, your brain's going to tell you, I just threw a good pitch. But you don't know that that's true.
That's absolutely
the
not
batter
true.
May have just taken a bad swing at it for no reason whatsoever. And the numbers will actually kind of tell you which pitches are the better ones if you can take your brain out of the equation sometimes. Is that really what the statistical revolution here in baseball is about?
I think so. I mean, you know, I think the opposite is the one that's really happens even more, which is that a pitcher throws a pitch that's pretty good, but one of the first times he throws it, someone yanks it for a homer. And then they never throw that pitch again. And you're like, dude, that is a pretty good pitch. And that's why it can be good to have something like Stuff Plus and be like, look, this curve ranks them the best. Here are the comps. You know, oh, this curve looks like this guy's curve and this guy. Those guys' curves are good, right? Like, throw it again, please, you know? So there's some of that, there's also some of, like, when a player is really struggling and you can come to them and say, hey, you know what? You're barreling the ball. Your barrel rate is on par with this guy's. Your exit velocities are fine. Like, you just need to chill out, and like the hits will come. You know, so the numbers can do a lot of different things. They don't have to be overwhelming. They don't have to be negative. One thing that I do think is, as a fan, I don't begrudge anybody their opinion about how they want to consume the sport. I understand that, and I think that the best broadcast teams, the best shows try to really meld, you know, what is happening on the field, what has happened historically, the stories. People love stories from back in the day. And then just sort of gently fold in some of the stats so that you don't necessarily have to report the exit velocity on every homer. But if somebody tonight hit the hardest hit homer of the year or ever for the Padres or something, that's when you sort of say it. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to do it for every single one. You don't have to really shoehorn it in. These numbers are supposed to tell a story, you know?
It's interesting, too. I was watching, I think it was something on Apple TV, maybe. I can't remember, but Francoeur, Franchi was on there, and he kept calling people that like stats in baseball, pencil necks the whole night. Oh, those are those pencil necks. Pencil neck stats. Pencil necks. I'm like, all right, this is a huge broadcast featuring two great teams. Pencil neck, pencil neck, pencil neck. And I'm like,
oh, my God.
And he's not an old guy. I mean, he's not, you know, this isn't Goose Gossage here. And I'm listening to this going, all right, now I there needs to be more of a happy medium. You know, there really does.
Yeah.
I don't know if you had heard that.
Yeah, I think Mud does a great, I think they do a great job.
They do.
Mud and Don do a great job. And they're not the nerdiest that I've ever had. You know, one of my favorite broadcasters is John Miller.
He's
not like a big stat guy, but I also love Boosh Yombi.
Yes.
You know, the Cubs, and he folds more stats in, you know, Jason Benetti with the White Sox. So there are different ways to be great, just like there are different ways to be great as a baseball player. And that's why I like these stats, is because you can highlight so many different cool things about a player.
Oh, yeah.
This guy's like one of the five fastest players in the big leagues. You know, this guy, and you can do it a little bit more precision. I think than without it. And I don't know, you can also just express regret at like the way that baseball has become very sort of walk in a blast, you know, sort of,
yeah,
you know, more outcomes. Focused on power and we, yeah, the free true outcomes, like that has come from analysis. But my retort is, you know, that's not the analyst's fault. They're just trying to help their team win the game.
Right.
It's not the pencil neck's fault. They're working for teams and trying to help players get better. That's my passion, is player development. You know, trying to help players get better. They're trying to help their team win. If you don't like where this is going, then you should be pro the kind of rule changes that baseball is making.
100%.
That's the reason they're making those rule changes, is to incentivize teams to want the single again.
Eno, enjoy your All-Star break. We'll chat with you again as we get the second half started, and we always appreciate everything you've done. First half of the season was great. Thank you so much.
We'll talk to you not next week. We'll give you the week off.
Yes. Yeah, week off.
The first week of the second half, we'll have you back in 2 weeks.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Unless we get in a pinch.
Yeah, you know. Well, then we'll just call you.
Keep your phone on.
Yeah,
but just,
yeah, no, yeah, you still might get a text. We'll see.
Eno Saris, smart baseball, brought to you by 7 Mile Casino. And he said something, and he always has some nugget that I grab onto. And it's so simple. But as we've been talking about the Padres and the roller coaster of the season, and maybe this isn't as unexpected as it feels, because when we start talking about how well they're playing and get excited, of course, they're about to turn, because there's only one way you can go. When you've won 12 of 15, that's not going to last forever. Unless you're the greatest team in baseball history, you're about to hit a rut. And when they've lost four or five in a row, and everything seems bleakest, that's not going to last either. And of course, they're going to start winning, and things are going to turn around again, because that's just the nature of life.
Yep.
That, you know, things change, and our attention gets focused when teams are either playing well or struggling, but it's because it's probably about to change and go the other direction. Let's hope the Padres are about to change and go the other direction again.
That's exactly what's been happening.
Yep, all season long. And we'll see if that continues. Paulie's got the Rindle Report coming up next. Final hour before the roundtable on The Fan.